particular chapter. It's known as the resurrection chapter. One of the greatest chapters in God's Word. It is literally it's got the gospel in it. It's got the resurrection in it. And it's just an amazing text. I think this will be our third message out of this particular text. I know I've enjoyed it. I love to preach on the resurrection. And there's a lot of great truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, one thing you want to really remember is in chapter 15, 1 through 4, is the gospel message. 1 through 4. Don't ever forget that. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus and you're saved, and even if you're unsaved, you need to know 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's the gospel message as given to Paul. I received the gospel probably from my mother. And I've told you that many times. I was taught at home, and I was also taught in church. But what's important in this particular text is that people know what the gospel is. You need to know what the gospel is, and it's defined in verses 1 through 4. So be sure to remember that. Paul didn't receive the gospel by any man. Did y'all realize that? He received the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave him directly the gospel. And what he gave him, he penned it in 1 Corinthians 15. So don't ever forget that. That's one of the most important verses, or four verses, in the Scriptures. Very important that you know what they are. Okay? Now, we'll move over to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28 is what I'm going to try to do this evening. I do believe this is either the third or fourth message. I didn't bring all my papers with me this evening. I think this is the third message. And I think you'll enjoy this study. It's a good study. There's got a lot of things in it. It's easy to follow, I think, too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 20. I'm going to let you sit down, but we'll read verses 20 through 28, and we'll have a word of prayer. You kind of look over what we're going to be looking at tonight as I read it. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and hath become the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh what? Then cometh the end. Be sure to remember that. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then after his coming comes the what? Comes the end. And when he have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under his feet, it is manifest that he is exempted, which did put all things under his feet. Verse 28 will be the last one here, and we'll pray. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under his feet, that God may be all in all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we have the privilege of preaching your word. Lord, we're thankful for the many blessings that you've given this church. Lord, we've seen you do great things here over the years that we've been here, and Lord, we're thankful for these folks, Lord, that have come out on this Sunday night, and we pray that you grant the unction of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that you send souls here that needs to be saved. We pray that not only do we reach out in the communities and in our homes and amongst the people that we know, but Lord, we pray that you'd bring people in that are lost. So, Lord, we'd love to see people saved and added to the church. And Father, we're thankful for what you've done in the past and the people that you brought in. But Lord, we pray for an increase here. We pray for people to be coming in and trusting you as Savior. and washed clean by your blood. Grant us a revival here. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now we're going to title this tonight from verse 20, and it's going to be, Now is Christ Risen. Now is Christ Risen. Now, beloved, if the Lord never rose from the dead, we just will go to the house right now because we wouldn't have nothing to look forward to. We talk a lot about Jesus' death, but you can't talk about his death without his resurrection, because without the resurrection, his death wouldn't mean anything. Do y'all realize that? You got to have the combination of both of those. The power of God to salvation is the gospel message. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And right here in this chapter, as we said a little while ago, is the definition to what the gospel is. We want everybody that attends this church to know what the gospel is. I'd be ashamed to be a saved person and not to know what the gospel is. You need to know what it is. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and that's the message by which he saves every sinner. That's the message by which he saves every sinner, is through that blessed gospel message. So now let's go down to verse 20. And let's go ahead and work through this particular part. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we'll seek to do the best we can. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He just acknowledges it right here, makes the statement of it. Now is Christ risen from the dead. And like we said, if he didn't rise, we wouldn't have any hope. Wouldn't have nothing to look forward to. Wouldn't have no heavenly home. There's been so many things rides on the resurrection. When Jesus resurrected, he conquered sin, death, and he did. He did conquer all three of them. Our greatest enemies were defeated by the Lord, by dying and rising again. It's a glorious thing, isn't it? And that's what this blessed message is about. So Christ is risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits. He's become the what? The first fruits of them that slept. First fruits is, you go back in the book of Leviticus, and the first fruits was the first, in the springtime, they would celebrate their barley harvest. And the children of Israel would bring some of the barley, and they would wave that like this before the Lord. It's what they'd do. Why did he do that? Well, it was a picture of the resurrection, really. Jesus, of course, was crucified at Passover. How many knows that? At Passover, he was crucified. But Jesus didn't just die. That was on the 14th of Nisan that he died. But on the 15th, he arose. Or after 3 days, he arose. And that's a picture of what? Oh, my, he conquered sin, death, and hell by rising again. It's a picture of the gospel. That's what it was designed to do, is to picture the gospel in this text. So Christ is risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that did what? Them that slept. Jesus was the first fruits. He was the first to resurrect. Never to die again. All God's people say it. Who was the first? Jesus. Now, beloved, don't get this thing confused, because sometimes people do. Lazarus was resurrected, right? Widow of Nain's son was resurrected. Jairus' daughter was resurrected. But hear me, they all died again. That's the difference. Jesus is the first to resurrect. Never, never to die again. Oh, God, see, we'll see it. See, he's the first to do that. He's the first one. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That's good news for us, ain't it? If he didn't resurrect, we wouldn't have no hope. We wouldn't have no, do you realize we wouldn't have no future at all? We wouldn't have victory over death. We wouldn't have anything like that. We would be, of all men, as the Scripture says, most hopeless. We surely would. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and notice what it says about him. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first to resurrect. He's the first to resurrect, never to die again. He was. All right? Now let's look down at verse 21. First to resurrect, never to die again. Verse 21, for since by man came death. Who's that talking about? Come through Adam, didn't it? Adam sinned in the garden. Did he know what he's doing is wrong? Yes. He wasn't deceived. Scripture says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. He sinned with both eyes wide open. He sinned with both eyes wide open. He knew it was sin. He knew it was wrong. Eve did not. But he freely, willingly chose to sin. That's what he did. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Who's the man that brought the resurrection of the dead? Jesus. He's the one that gained the victory over sin, death, and hell by living, dying, and rising again. We wouldn't have anything to look forward to if it wasn't for Jesus. He conquered death. He conquered death. You think of all the funerals all you all's been through over your year, over the years. Don't you? How can I say that? Do you hate funerals? I hate funerals. I mean, the suffering and the sorrow of the people, it breaks my heart to see people's family die. It's a thing that'll make you cry. Jesus even wept at a tomb of Lazarus, didn't he know he's going to resurrect him? Why do you think he did that for? To let you know it's okay to cry at a graveside. It's all right for you to do that. He expects you to do that. I think it's fitting that God's people cry at that time. The separation is temporary. It's only temporary. It'll be for a time. Sometimes if the one left behind, it seems like it's forever. Right, Stewie? It seems like it's forever, but it's not. It's not. They're with the Lord, and eventually, over a period of time, you'll see them again. Oh, God's people say it. You see them again. Isn't that a glorious thing? How many of you got people in heaven today? Raise your right hand. It's touched us all, hasn't it? Now, that's why when we preach, when I preach, that we talk about the gospel so much. Because when you trust the gospel, it gives you victory over death. Now, if you've never trusted the gospel, you'll die in your sins. The worst thing that ever could happen to anybody on this world is for them to die in their sins. You want to have victory over death by trusting the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You trust that he died for you on Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. And when you trust that message, it gives you everlasting life. You go off to be with him whenever you die. But there's a lot of people to know that. There's a lot of people that know that. I shudder to think how many people know what I just said was true, but at the same time, they've never trusted that message. You need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you need to trust it. All right. So through man came death. That's Adam. But by man, that's Jesus. That by man there right there is talking about Jesus. By Jesus came the resurrection of the dead. And there will be a resurrection one day of the just. The justified is what that means, Larry, the justified. There'll be a resurrection of the justified, and there'll be a resurrection of the unjust. Just, unjust. If you want to say it another way, saved and lost. Do you know the lost will get a body? Let me tell you a little something about it. Those people that is in hell today are there in spirit. You say, well, how does the spirit suffer? I don't know. I know the Bible says that the people in hell are suffering. How's that if they don't have a body? Look at me again. I don't know. I just know they're there. And the scriptures in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, when that rich man died who died without Jesus, it says in hell he opened up his eyes being in torments. He felt it. He would have went there in spirit. See, the resurrection hadn't happened yet there either, had it? But he felt it. And he cried and he said, listen to this man in hell. He said he cried. He saw Abraham afar off and said, Father Abraham. Because that means he was a what? He was a Jew. He knew about creation and maybe knew the Bible, things of that nature. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to take the tip of his finger in water. Look here. See that drop? Send Lazarus to stick his finger in water to cool my tongue. And here's what this man said, for I am tormented in this flame. Y'all believe it? It's true. That's why we tell people they need to be saved. That's it. Hey, what I just told you is steadfast and sure. You need to be saved. You need to ask Jesus to save you. Ask him. It's what the thief on the cross did. He asked. It's what I did. I asked. I said, Lord, save me. He'll save you. He'll never turn down a call from a sinner that says, Lord, save me. You don't have to have a degree in theology to do that. You just got to know you're lost, Rick, and say, Lord, save me. Do y'all believe it? Whosoever, the scripture says it. I think it's Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Have you ever called? Have you ever called? Or are you thinking about it? I'm telling you, you need to quit thinking about stuff and trust what you know is true. You need to trust the Messiah, Lord Jesus, as your Savior. That's the most important thing in the world. All right, let me roll one. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made what? Made alive. That's talking about the resurrection, isn't it? There's a coming resurrection day. We done mentioned that. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4, mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 15. There'll be a resurrection. It's also in the book of Acts of the just and the unjust. But there will be definitely be a resurrection. Who was the first to resurrect never to die again? Jesus. He's the first one. All right, watch this now. But every man in his own order. I guess the Lord has an order even for the resurrection, y'all think? You know, the Lord does everything in order. Even when we go up, I guess it's going to be in order. Even resurrection's going to be in order. He does everything in order. When you look into, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, but when you look, it says, when he talks about his churches, he said, do everything decently and in. He wants you to run the church in order. He wants churches to be orderly. He does. God does everything in order. So I assume he'll do the resurrection, Mama, the same way. It'll be in order. But every man in his own order. Now watch this now. Christ is the what? First fruits. First fruits. I'm not going to get into details with this. It's been some years since I've covered it anyhow. But In the Old Testament, there were seven feast days that was given to Israel for them to celebrate. One of those feast days was the Feast of First Fruits. It happened, for instance, let me give you the time frame. On the 14th of Nisan, the Jews' religious calendar. On the 14th of Nisan, they offered up the Passover. It was on the 14th. It's in our springtime. It was the barley harvest, okay? Then, you know what else they did? Not only did they offer a lamb on that day, but they also offered up the first fruits. Offered up the first fruits, Larry, from the barley harvest. So not only did they picture the shedding of the blood of the lamb, but they also did what? They waved the sheaf from the first fruits of what harvest? You say, well, what difference does that make? Well, the death of that lamb pictured the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't just die. They also took a sheaf from the barley harvest. And you know how that sheaf began? Does anybody know? How do you get a sheaf? Somebody tell me how to get a sheaf. Starts with a what? That barley harvest was a seed that was planted. What did it do then? So what's that a picture of? That's why he offered them both together. It pictured the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. That's what it's a picture of. Y'all like it? I do. It's pictured that way. That's how the old saints did it. Who told them to do it that way? God did. Why did he choose them to tell them to do it that way? Because it's a picture of the gospel, what Jesus would do to save us from an eternity in hell. Oh, God's people say it. I wish I quit saying that, but I can't help it. Let's read on. But every man in his own order. Christ is the, every man in his, I guess when we go up, like I said, I think it's going to be an orderly thing. He mentions every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. He's the first to resurrect, never to die again. Afterwards, they that are Christ. When will that happen? When will the resurrection happen? At his coming. At his coming. And that's when the dead in Christ will raise. Oh, I'd love to be down at the Haven of Rest whenever that happened. Doing a service, Larry. Doing a service down there. Putting that, you know, you have that committal service. Be down there at that committal service, son, and the shout go up. And out of there they'd come. You imagine me in there. Y'all believe that could happen? Oh, man, I do too. Out of there they'd come. The dead in Christ rise first. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And that'll be the happy what? Happy reunion day. We'll be back together. We'll spend forever together. We're going to spend forever together. That's a wonderful thing. When you got family that knows Jesus, you husband and wives that are married and know Jesus, you're going to spend forever together. Forever. That's a glorious thing. Might be a little bit, like there might be a time frame here when you're not together. But eventually, if your spouse is born again and you're born again, you'll be back together again one of these days. Get to see one another again. Y'all got people in heaven you want to see? Y'all got people in heaven you want to see? You like to see old Coy? Yeah. Anybody else got somebody they want to see? Brother, you want to see your wife, don't you? Looking forward to seeing her. Miss Mary. There's people I want to see. I believe this. I believe it's real and believe it's going to happen. That's a glorious thing, I think. So this is all going to happen at his coming. Verse 23 again says, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Now let's move into verse 24. Then comes the end. Comes the what? And that's going to be the end. There's going to come an end to this thing. Who's going to bring it to an end, beloved? It ain't Russia and the United States going to bring it to an end. Oh, people, you know, there's going to be a nuclear war and it's going to destroy the whole planet. No, God's going to destroy it. People worry about some of the silliest things. What you need to worry about is your soul. And then when you die, you'll go up. You won't have to worry about anything like that. There's something great about being able to lay your head down on the pillow and know if you'd die that night or if Jesus would come that night, you'd go off to be with him. There's a peace in that. There's a peace in knowing that. I think that's the greatest thing that anybody could ever have is the peace of knowing that things are well with you and you can go off to be with the Lord. I can't remember who it was, but I was at the hospital, and I can't remember who I was with that particular day. Been with people over the years that way. I can't remember all of them. But I can remember this nurse coming in there. And when she came in, well, it was Neely. It was Neely's who it was. Just come to me. Neely, he was in that nursing home and where I can't remember all. No, it was hospice. He was in hospice. I went up to see him in hospice. And I went there and sat down, and it was awful. The breathing was, you know, he was getting ready to go. I could tell he was getting ready to go. And I sat there with him so Aunt Carol could go out, you know. And I sat there with my Bible, and I just studied and studied. And the noise from his breathing was just so loud. I can just remember that so vividly. It was just so loud. And I just kept reading my Bible. And then all of a sudden it just hit me. I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything anymore. And I looked over, and he done started to go. And I'll never forget this nurse they had up there. I went out. I said, Debbie, go get Aunt Carol and bring him in. He's gone. You know what that nurse did? She come in there. She checked him. She looked at him. Then she went, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what she did. I'll never forget it. The most perfect shout you ever heard in your life. Most perfect shout you ever heard in your life. Why in the world is she praising like that for? She knew his suffering was over. All the suffering was over. All the pain was over. He going to go off to be with Jesus. Better than he ever will. You go on and on if you want to go on and on. But I tell you what, it's a blessing when you have that. If you don't have that, the greatest thing you leave behind in your car or your money, the greatest thing you leave behind in your family is the knowledge that you as a man or a woman trusted Jesus as your Savior so that when you die, they know where you're at. They know where you're at. That gives people strength. It gives people strength. Verse 24 then comes the end. Eventually they'll come in. Lord will get his people out of here first, and then he's going to bring this thing to a close. That's what it says right here. Christ at his coming, then comes the what? Christ's going to come, then comes the what? The end's coming. There'll be an end to this thing one of these days. We just don't know when that's going to be. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm ready to go either way, ain't you? And I can't imagine living this life without knowing that. Can I ask some of you folks something tonight? Do you know that you're ready to go up? Have you told your people and your family that you're ready to go up? What's going to happen to you when you die? What's going to happen to you when you die? Where are you going to go? Well, I hope. No, I ain't talking no hope. Listen to me. I know where I'm going when I die. I don't think, wish, or hope, but I know where I'm going. And I want you to know it too, and it's my job to tell you. All God's people said. All right, let's move on. Then comes the end. He shall have delivered up the kingdom. That's what he's going to do. He's going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father. And when he's put down all rule and all authority and all power, that's on the whole earth. He's going to put it all down. He's going to put it all down. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his what? Sometimes you can probably seen this on television where someone's been vanquished or put down and they walk over and they put their foot on their neck, so to speak. You ever seen that happen before? That's the picture here. It's a picture of victory is what it is. So he'll put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he does what? He puts all enemies under his feet. What do you think the worst enemy is? Huh? You're right, Mom. Notice verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's going to destroy what? He's going to destroy death. There won't be no more death. It's what it says in Revelations 2, isn't it? There won't be no more death. That means there won't be no more separation. See, there's a separation now, right? Heaven and on earth, there's a separation. The saved that's in heaven, there's still a separation there. And you miss them horribly. I'm going to say this one more time just in case someone's missed it. When someone asks someone that died in their family that they love, it's a comfort to their heart when you know they're saved. But don't ever go up to a grieving person that just lost their dad or their mom or their child or whatever and say, "Don't cry, they're with the Lord." Listen, that's easy for you to say because that ain't your child. That's easy for you to say because that ain't your wife or that ain't your brother or whatever. It's easy for you to say that. That's not what the Scriptures tells you to do anyhow. What does the Scriptures tell you to do when someone's hurting and weeping from death? It says to weep with them that weep. Does it or does it not? Weep with them that weep. Pray with them. Meet needs. If they need something, you meet the need for them. There's things you can do to help them. Yeah, we know where they're at, and that's a comfort to know where they're at. Don't get me wrong. That's the greatest comfort in the world when you know where they're at. But when you love that person, you will miss them here. Stewie, am I right?
Amen. You're right.
You will miss them here. Do you know where your wife's at?
Yep.
Where?
In heaven.
But you still miss her here.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Oh, God's people say it.
Amen.
Every day. Did you say every day?
Every day.
Even though he knows he's going to see her, right? He'll see her again. All God's people said.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing. Last enemy, I can't wait till this last enemy is gone. Verse 26. This here's the last enemy. It's going to be destroyed as who? He's going to destroy death. We'll get rid of it completely. No more death. That's what Revelation says that we already said. For he hath put all things under his feet. Under whose feet? He hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued, then shall the Son also himself subject himself and put all things under him, that's the Father. It's like he conquers the kingdom and delivers it up to who? Delivers it up to the Father. Isn't that something? Did you see it right there? Let's look at it again. I think I'm going to stop. I'm going to hang my hat on this one. And I might pick my hat back up, though. And when all the things shall be subdued under him or unto him. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him as the Father. And he'll put all things under him that God may be all in all. What's the message title tonight? Now is Christ risen. And what a glorious future we have tonight because he did rise again. Do you have victory over death tonight? Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll close.